Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. What a beautiful statement that is. Thank you, Blake, for leading us in worship and the worship team. I really appreciate the songs this morning. I'm thankful to be able to share with you from God's Word today. Studying Psalm 77 has been both a blessing and a challenge. It's interesting when you study these psalms, you experience what they experience. It's kind of hard to believe that these were actually songs, if you think about some of these psalms. I don't think I'd want to go through a worship service singing Psalms 119. I'd prefer 117, just once. But it's amazing that these were actually songs that they sang. And I'm thankful for the music that we have and the psalms that we can look at, and I appreciate that. Last year when I presented my psalm, it was Psalm 75. This year it's Psalm 77. It happens to be the same author. But let me ask you, have you ever been surrounded by people and still felt alone? Have you sat in church, heard the songs, watched others worship, and wondered, Lord, I know you are good, but why do you feel so far away? Have you ever experienced that? We know how to smile in the lobby and say, I'm fine or I'm good. In fact, I did that this morning. I said, I'm good, I'm fine. And for the most part, most of us are. And yet behind that smile, there may be a weary soul, a heavy burden, or an unanswered prayer. That kind of honesty can draw us closer to God and to one another. And Psalm 77 speaks directly to those nights when faith feels heavy and God seems distant. So let's look at Psalms 77. I'll be reading from the New International Version, the NIV. Psalm 77. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promises failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and withered. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your ways through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you today as people who know what it feels like to walk through dark nights. Some of us are carrying silent battles. Some are wrestling with questions we've never dared to speak. Some feel like you are far away. But today, through your word, Remind us that you are the God who hears even when you seem quiet, who works even when we cannot see, and who loves us even when we feel forgotten. Speak to us through Psalm 77. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the reality of the night seasons. Every believer, no matter how long you have walked with God, will face a night season. A time when God feels silent, prayer feels hard, worship feels heavy, and Scripture seems far away. It is the kind of season that leaves you awake at night whispering, "Lord, where are you?" Some of you know exactly what I mean. You prayed for healing, and the symptoms remained. You prayed for your child, and they wandered further away. You prayed for your message or for your marriage, and the distance grew. You prayed for direction for your life, and heaven seemed quiet. And in those moments, you begin to wonder, is it me? Is it God? Is something wrong? Why can't I feel him? This psalm is obviously not a victory shout. It is a survival cry. And sometimes survival is the most spiritual thing you can do. What makes this psalm especially powerful is its author, Asaph, David's worship leader and a prophet entrusted with leading the whole nation in worship. He reaches a place so dark that he questions everything he knows about God. So let's walk with Asaph. Let's listen to his questions, his fears, his memories, and finally his turning point, because in many ways, his journey is also our journey. So what do you do when God feels absent? This will be covering the first 9 verses. Faith begins with honesty, not pretending. Asaph tells the truth about his pain. He holds nothing back to God in prayer. His cry is desperate, verses 1 and 2. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. Asaph begins with raw honesty. He does not pretend or hide behind religious language. He does not say, I'm fine or good. He says, I cried out to God. He repeats it because this is not a polite, quiet prayer. It is a cry of a desperate heart that is longing to hear from God. The Hebrew word for cry means to shout, to scream, to call out with intensity. This man is in survival mode, praying with urgency because he has nowhere else to turn. There's a saying that confession is good for the soul. Well, I have been there. I've cried out to God in my distress. I've cried out to God for help more than once in my life. I can feel Asaph's pain that he is experiencing. He seeks God, but nothing happens. Nothing changes. He stretches out his hands throughout the night, prays for hours, and still says, I would not be comforted. Many believers know that feeling. You pray, but peace does not come. You worship, but the heaviness is not lifted. You open the word, but it still feels like ink on paper. Asaph prays persistently. It says his hands are stretched now out all night long. He is exhausted. He is sleepless. He is overwhelmed. Have you ever been there? I'm sure you have. Ann and I have been there many times. It could be a child, a spouse, it could be finances, it could be health issues. At this season in our life, Ann and I really do know a little bit about health issues, especially my ongoing health issues. Most of you know that at the end of last year, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer, and it was they removed about a tumor. And beginning of this year, I went through a 6-week course of treatment for bladder cancer. And then back in May 26th, I went back in to see how everything looked. And lo and behold, there was a couple more tumors. And when they went in a couple weeks ago to remove those two, they found a third one, so they took that out. So in a few weeks, I'll be starting a new treatment for bladder cancer. It is a non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. So if there is such a thing as a good cancer, that would be the one to have. It was non-muscle. That's what you want to try to stay away from. So I'm thankful for the doctors, urologists, medications, the drugs that they have. So I'll be starting a new treatment in a few weeks. It's totally different from the last one that I had, because the last one I had, they no longer can get in the United States. There's just not enough supply for it. So it's going to be a different type of a treatment. They're actually going to put a device in my bladder that's going to emit a low dose of chemo, and it will be throughout the bladder that will stay and do its work. So I do appreciate your prayers. Next week, I'll probably be on the prayer list here, so I hope that you do grab that prayer list that we have. I do thank Pastor and those that are getting that prayer list together. I do believe in prayer. Ann and I believe in prayer. We really do. We're thankful for the prayers of the people of this church. In fact, before I came up here this morning, I had the pastor and another elder or two prayed with me this morning. I appreciate prayers. God hears and answers prayer. I'm a firm believer of that. I really am. And I know that most of you are too. So thank you for your prayers. And I'm not the only one with a health issue in this congregation. We have many people that are going through some health issues. So don't forget to pray for them. Grab that card and just pray for those that are on that card. And those that maybe people don't know about, we have some friends that went through an episode not too long ago, and we prayed for them. So remember to pray for one another. But let's move on with Asaph. He prays persistently, but nothing seems to work. And then his soul refuses comfort. Nothing helps. Not music, not sleep, not distractions, not even scripture, because his heart is too heavy to receive it. Remember Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1? She prayed with such anguish that Eli thought that she was drunk. But she was not drunk. She was desperate. She said, "I am a woman deeply troubled." That is where Asaph is. It's like a parent pacing the floor at 2 a.m. with a sick child. No words seem to help. All that is left is a desperate prayer. Sometimes the most spiritual prayer you can pray is that of a groan. As Romans 8:26 reminds us, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit as well. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf when we don't know where to go, when we don't know how to pray. He intercedes. He knows what's in us. He knows our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide and direct our lives. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that we have to be with us. His memory makes him hurt more, verses 3 to 6. Asaph says, "I remembered you, God, and I groaned." That line captures a painful truth that many believers know. Remembering God doesn't always bring immediate relief. Sometimes it actually deepens the ache. He remembers seasons when God felt near, worship flowed freely, and prayer came easily. Now those memories sharpen the contrast between what was and what is, and his groanings turns into question. Many believers only whisper in the dark. And then he remembers past joy, and it intensifies present sorrow. There was a season when worship came easy and praise flowed freely for Asaph. Now the man who once sang in the night lies awake in the night. The contrast is painful. Memories of joy, peace, strength in your walk with God can make the present silence feel even heavier. Prayer once felt like refuge. Now it feels like labor. Scripture once brought joy, and now it takes effort just to focus. Worship once stirred your heart. Now your spirit feels numb. That does not mean you have no faith. You still believe, but you are in a spiritual battle. And Satan would not like nothing more than to create a spiritual battle in your life. But we have God's word that is stronger than what Satan can come against us with. And I'm thankful that God's word is true and viable for us today. As you read God's word, claim his promises. Claim the truth that he has for us and apply it to your lives. He remembers past closeness, and it highlights present distance. Asaph thinks about the years of long ago. That's one of my newer sayings. Days gone by, or back in the day. That's the one that I like now. You know, I'm old enough to say back in the day. And that's what Asaph was referring to, the years of long ago. Those memories make his present loneliness even more painful. That kind of sorrow comes from love, not unbelief. The pain is evidence that his heart still belongs to God. If you don't have pain or suffering, that means you don't believe in God, because God is there to help you. And if you didn't care, you wouldn't feel anything. You just let it go. But the pain is evidence in his heart, because it still belongs to God. Asaph's pain reveals that he has not stopped seeking God. He is hurting because he remembers what communion with God once was, and now he longs for it again. He remembers past worship, but now he cannot worship. He once sang through the night. In earlier days, trust rose above fear, and praise rose above pain. But now the night feels different. What once was a place of worship now feels like a place of struggle. He remembers his songs in the night, but now he cannot seem to sing them. That is spiritual weariness. And we probably have all experienced that in our lives. Remembering the song while feeling too weak to sing it. Still, hope remains, because Asaph is still turning towards God. Even a groan becomes a prayer when it is lifted to the Lord. But now his questions turn dark, verses 7 through 9. Asaph now reaches the psalm's darkest point. What began as crying and groaning has become questioning, as sorrow turns inward and begins to speak. He asks 6 piercing questions, so raw that many believers feel guilty even thinking about them. Yet Scripture includes them not to encourage unbelief, but to show what honest faith sounds like in the dark. These are not words of rebellion, but honest questions from a wounded heart struggling to trust God in the silence. First question: will the Lord reject forever? This is not merely a theological question. It is a cry of a heart afraid the silence may last. God, is this permanent? Have I crossed the line somewhere? Will this heaviness and distance remain always? In long seasons of pain, the mind can turn temporary suffering into permanent conclusions. One unanswered prayer becomes, God will never answer. One long night becomes, morning will never come. Asaph voices the fear that many believers know, not only that God feels absent now, but that he may stay absent forever. So will the Lord reject forever? That was Asaph's first question. Here's the second question: will he never show his favor again? Here Asaph is not only grieving the present, he is afraid of mercy may not return. God, was that the last season of blessings you are going to bestow on me? Was that the last time I will sense your nearness or know your help? Pain can make us view the future through present wounds. When the soul is exhausted, it struggles to imagine goodness. That is why this question cuts so deep. It expresses the fear that the God who once showed favor may never do so again. That would be troubling. Question number 3, has his unfailing love vanished forever? This question reaches into the very character of God. Asaph knows that the Lord's faithful love never fails. He knows that. Yet in this morning, in this moment that he is experiencing, what he feels seems to fight against what he believes. God, has your love run out on me? Have I exhausted your patience? Have I drifted too far? Is there no mercy left for me? Sorrow can make our deepest convictions feel uncertain. Asaph is not saying that God's love has disappeared. He is confessing that in his pain, it feels that way. And pain can do that. Question number four, has his promise failed for all time? Now the question moves from God's love to God's word. Lord, do your promises still apply to me? Have they expired in my case? Did I misunderstand what you said? Did I trust something that will never happen? It is one thing to struggle emotionally. It is another to wonder whether God's promises are still trustworthy. Many exhausted believers live here. They know the verses. They have memorized the promises. But when the delay is long and the silence is heavy, they begin to wonder whether these promises belong to everyone else except for them. The fifth question, has God forgotten to be merciful? This may be one of the most heartbreaking questions in the psalm. God, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten to show compassion? Have you turned away from me in my time of need? God has not forgotten. But pain can sometimes make us feel that he has. Suffering narrows our vision until all we see is the hurt. And when relief is delayed, the heart can mistake waiting for neglect. Asaph names that agony with painful honesty. That's what you have to admire about Asaph. He's not afraid to be honest, and he's being honest with God. And the sixth question is this, has he in anger withheld his compassion? This final question carries the fear of divine displeasure. God, are you angry with me? Is this silence punishment? Have you closed your heart towards me? When we cannot explain our pain, we often turn it inward and assume the worst. We imagine that God is distant because he is displeased, silent because he is condemning, or absent because he is finished with us. The beauty of this psalm is that Asaph brings his fears to God instead of hiding them. This is what faith does in the dark. It does not ignore the questions, but it carries them to the only one able to help him. And that's what Asaph has done. Those are very powerful questions. Six questions that Asaph has asked of God. And to me, that kind of scared me when I first looked at that. I thought, man, what in the world? What is going on with this guy's life? And it's interesting, I did some research on this psalm, and I could not find from any commentaries, anybody, what exactly that Asaph was going through. And we don't know, but he was going through something pretty bad in his life that he was crying out to God to help him. And I think some of us have been in that same situation before in our own lives. These six questions do not come from unbelief. They come from a wounded soul trying to make sense of God's silence. They are cries from the valley, but there is something deeply hopeful. Asaph is still talking to God about God. He is still wrestling with God. He has not shut down. He has not walked away. His questions, they may be dark, but they are still aimed heavenward. Sometimes faith looks like this. Not certainty, not strength, not victory, but the courage to bring our deepest thoughts into the presence of the Lord. Wow, this is powerful questions that Asaph has asked of God. My second point is this, the turning point of the soul, a decision to remember. When you can't see God's hand, remember God's history. Verse 10 is the turning point of this psalm. Asaph does not receive new circumstances or immediate answers. What changes is the direction of his thoughts. He begins to see that the problem is not God's character, but his own perspective in the middle of his pain. So he makes a decision, not a discovery, verse 10. Then I thought, makes you wonder why he didn't do that first, but we do the same thing, don't we? Then I thought, he chooses to remember God's past faithfulness. I will appeal to the Most High. He turns his mind from his pain to God's power. Sometimes the only way to move forward is to look backward, not in regret, but in remembrance. In Joshua 4, God told Israel to gather 12 stones from the Jordan River and build a memorial so future generations would ask, what do these stones mean? Sometimes you need a stone of remembrance to remind you that the God who carried you then is the same God who will carry you now. And then he chooses to remember God's works. Verse 11 and 12. I will remember, I will consider, and meditate. He fights back with memory. He chooses to remember. Memory becomes a weapon in the hands of faith. David before Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. David remembered when he was a youngster that he killed the lion and he killed a bear, evidence of God's past faithfulness in his life. And that memory gave him courage for the battle that was in front of him. He said, the Lord will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. And he went out and slew the giant Goliath. My third point is this: God is still working even when you cannot see him. God's silence is not God's absence. Now the atmosphere of this psalm begins to change. Asaph has not received an explanation for his suffering, but remembrance has done its job. He's beginning to remember who God is. The man who was drowning in questions begins to rise in confidence. He turns his eyes from the instability of his emotions to the unchanging nature of God. He rehearses God's character in verse 13. Your ways, God, are holy. This is more than theology. It is an anchor for a troubled soul. God is never random, careless, or unjust. We may not see what he sees, but his wisdom reaches far beyond our sight. That is one of the profound lessons of spiritual maturity. Faith does not wait for a full explanation before it can trust. It trusts because the heart has learned who God is. I like that sentence right there when it comes to faith. It trusts because the heart has learned who God is. Remember who's in your heart. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you can trust him. He's in your heart. Call out to him. He rehearses God's character. Your ways, God, are holy. Remember Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20? He did not understand the pit, the slavery, the false accusations, or the prison. Yet years later, he could say that what others meant for evil, God meant for good. He didn't understand why he was going through those trials, but later on he could say, now I know why I went through those. It was for God's good. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9 reminds us that God's ways are higher than our ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His way is far beyond what we can fully understand right now. But God always has our best interest in mind. He rehearses God's power, verses 14 and 15. You are the God who performs miracles. With that declaration, Asaph shifts his focus from his own helplessness to God's proven power. God is not a distant observer of suffering. He acts, he rescues, he delivers, and he redeems his people. When despair makes God seem smaller, Asaph answers it by remembering the mighty works God has already done. God has never failed his people. Can you say amen to that? Let's try it again. God has never failed his people. Say amen. Amen. That does not mean they will never suffer. It means suffering has never had the final word over those he has redeemed. Repeatedly, God has stepped into impossible situations and made himself known. If there is any place where God loves to display his glory, it is where human strength runs out. He often waits until our resources are exhausted so his power would be unmistakable in our lives. Remember Daniel? Daniel may not have heard God speak in the lion's den, but God's silence was not absence. Sometimes God is working most powerfully when he seems most quiet. And then Asaph rehearses God's invisible guidance, verses 16 to 19. The Exodus becomes Asaph's anchor. He reaches back to the Red Sea, the defining act of deliverance in Israel's memory. Israel saw no way forward, no way back, no way around, but God made a way through. When the present feels impossible, Asaph remembers the moment when God turned impossibility into a rescue mission. Asaph retells this Red Sea story with thunder, lightning, trembling, waters, and a shaking earth. Then comes the most powerful line in the psalm, "Your path led through the sea, though your footprints were not seen." That is the heart of the message. God was present, active, and leading, even when his footprints were invisible. That is why this psalm does not end with every emotion resolved, but with the heart of God brought back into view. Asaph moves from asking, "Has God forgotten?" to the truth that God has been leading him all along. My last point is this: the God who leads like a shepherd. Verse 20, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." God leads like a shepherd, gently, intentionally, and personally. And he often does so through ordinary people as part of his shepherding care. A pastor, a friend, a spouse, a parent, a counselor, a brother or sister in Christ who shows up at the right moment with a word, a meal, a prayer, or simply their presence. God's answer may be quiet, but it is no less real. Sometimes he does not change your circumstances. He changed how you see them. Psalms 23 reminds us, "The Lord is my shepherd." Even when David walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he could still say, "You are with me." God's presence is not proven by what you feel, but by who he is. So if you're in a night season, keep praying. Even if the words feel empty, keep remembering. Even if the memories hurt, keep trusting even when you cannot see. Keep walking even when the path is dark. Because the God who parted the Red Sea, closed the mouths of lions, raised Jesus from the dead, is the same God who walks with you in your night. And one day, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but one day the night will break, the silence will lift, the dawn will come, and you will say, "God was with me the whole time." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can bring our pain and honesty to you. Draw near to every broken heart and strengthen those who are walking through a night season. Give us courage to keep praying, faith to keep trusting, and grace to remember your goodness. Remind us that your silence is not your absence, and lead us through the waters with hope. Fix our eyes on Jesus, who entered the darkness for us and rose in victory. We trust you, need you, and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.